Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for a world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello and welcome to Love to You All. I'm Catherine Galligan. I'm the host of this podcast where we are talking about love and how to increase the amount of love in this world and spread love and understand love. And ultimately, what I'm really going for is to teach people and inspire people, as many people as possible, to be the frequency of love. And so being the frequency of love is even bigger than acts and expressions of love, you know? Like, you've probably heard of the five love languages. You know, these are the five ways that humans give and receive love, like giving gifts or physical touch, acts of service, and so on. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being the frequency of love and what is required to become that frequency. Because, you know, I could give somebody a gift, but it's not that authentic being in that frequency of love isn't there. And so the gift probably isn't going to be that well received because it probably wasn't that well intended. Do you know what I mean? I could say something nice to somebody and that's technically, you know, speaking that person's love language, but if it's not coming from an authentic place of love, then it's not going to hold the frequency of being love, and therefore that whatever I said is going to fall flat. So do you see the difference? And so what I'm going for is, like, how do we become that frequency? Okay. And what I want to bring to the table for us to discuss and consider is how disasters and, like, tragedies bring people together as humans. Okay. And how those events seem to put us in the frequency of love. Okay. So for example, like 9/11. So my memory of that is, you know, and I was in my 20s when that happened. You know, people, the displays of humanity were just unbelievable. And the city of New York, like, people really changed, you know, and they really united to, like, get through that event. Okay. So, you know, that was a long time ago. I mean, for some of us. But what I think is really interesting about that particular event is just this whole frequency of love thing. Okay. And so my question is, do we have to have an event happen in order to be that frequency? And I already know the answer. That to me, the answer is no. But I have a couple other, you know, examples or stories that I want to tell just to give you some food for thought. So the first story I want to share with you is about a father and a son. Okay. So I happen to be friends with the father. And, like, you know, this particular example, it's more recent and it hits close to home for me because I have grown adult children too. So he's a little older than I am, and his kids are married with their own kids. And so my friend's a grandfather, and he's got one son who lives in the Northeast and then another son who lives on the West Coast. And then meanwhile, we're in Texas. So, but even despite the fact that they're not all living in the same city, they're a close family. You know, they communicate a lot. They talk on the phone. They visit each other often. In fact, I kind of remember my friend and his wife saying that they made an agreement to visit one of their sons once a month. And so they're, like, constantly going to one place or the other. So you know, they're involved with their kids' lives. Let's put it that way. So, you know, you might understand when I say that my friend, when he got canceled by his son, he was hurt. Okay. You know, they had some sort of a falling out, you know, something to do with just different points of view about something. And if I remember the story correctly, I think the son felt kind of jilted that his dad didn't show enough support for a certain event. And, you know, I don't, without sharing the particulars or their private lives, you know, ultimately what happened is the son was hurt and felt wounded. And how he handled it is he cut off the communication between him and his dad. Okay. So they went from being, you know, really tight and regular visits to now they're not talking. Okay. And then the worst part about it was this son, he and his wife had just had another baby. Okay. And so my friend, you know, grandpa, he wants to go visit this new baby, but the son's like, nope, nope, can't come out and visit, not taking your calls, forget it, you know, you're out. So that, you know, this was like a deal. And that continued for a while until the fires happened in LA. So my friend's son, he lives in Los Angeles, and oh, God bless these people. Their house was directly affected. And that had to be so scary. Like, you know, like getting in the car with the newborn baby and rushing to safety. Like, you know, I mean, it was very tragic. And they've, like a lot of people, have been completely uprooted and have had to find a new place to live and kind of get settled and start their lives over while they're in this kind of limbo period. And I, you know, naturally it's been really hard. So as awful as all of that is, and I don't want to downplay how awful it is, there's a tiny silver lining to this particular story, because that tragedy, it's almost like it gave the son amnesia that he was mad at his dad. And so it opened up the airways of communication between him and his dad. Okay. And so, you know, what I don't want to say is like, oh, okay, good. You know, that was a good thing that happened. You know, no, my point is, you know, I don't think a natural disaster has to happen in order for us to exchange love with each other and be the frequency of love for one another. And so, you know, I asked my friend, like, when you were cut off from communication from your son, like, how did you handle it? Were you pouting? You know, were you miffed? Were you hurt? Like, how'd that go down? And he told me how he was like, well, I never stopped letting my son know that I loved him. And so I would, you know, reach out and leave him messages and let him know that I missed him, let him know that I was looking forward to meeting their new baby, letting him know that I loved him. And so I didn't stop my end of the communication. I just, you know, kept letting him know how much I loved him. And I personally love that. I love that that's how he handled it with his son, you know, because it's so easy when we're hurt to just raise the walls of protection, you know? So like, you know, one guy makes his move and his move feels like rejection to you. Like a natural response is to sort of protect yourself and you put up your barriers, and then that guy feels rejected and now everybody feels rejected and everyone's cut off from communication and nobody wins. In that scenario, nobody wins. And so at least my friend left his side of the street kind of open for communication when his son was ready. And you know, when the fire struck and tragedy struck, that happened. And his son reached out to his father, you know, as if nothing happened, because he needed his dad. And it's so sweet. To me, it's so sweet that like they're back on track with each other. And, you know, what I asked my friend was, well, did you ever talk about the falling out? You know, did he explain why he was mad? Did he change something about yourself to earn his forgiveness? And my friend said, well, no, you know, nothing changed. And so, I mean, I still have my viewpoint and he still has his viewpoint and they're very different, but the fires kind of opened the doors for us to re-enter each other's lives and just move forward and let bygones be bygones, if you will. And I think that's really, really interesting. I think that's an example for us to live by, because it's really common to allow somebody's differences from you to be grounds for you not to have that person in your life. And so I think it doesn't matter what it is. Like, there's no area of life where we're going to be so fully aligned on every single topic and nuance within that category that makes us feel 100% aligned with any person 100% of the time. It's almost, I mean, it's just an impossible ask, right? This episode is brought to you by my brand new online membership for women called Emerge. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, Emerge is a very special container for women ready to become not only bigger, expanded versions of themselves, but also the highest frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. If you're ready to live a little bit more out loud and step into your power, Emerge is for you. It is a year-long commitment where every month, like-minded women gather together to become even more powerful. It includes a masterclass, lots of learning, and lots of support. I'm your mentor, and I cannot wait to get started because we're going to have an incredible year together. You can find more information to register linked in the show notes. Until then, I can't wait to see you become part of Emerge. So let's just look at a different example. And this has to do more with like belief systems. So let's take a scenario where we're looking at people who are really divided in their belief systems. And, you know, this could be anything. It could be religious beliefs. It could be how you're raising your children. It could be politics. So let's pick politics since our country is so, you know, charged these days. I think this will land for people. But let's say we've got on one side, we've got this staunch Republican. You know, and then on the other side, we've got this staunch Democrat. Okay. And then these two people, they just can't see eye to eye. It's cantankerous and it's like maybe even on the verge of like dangerous. Okay. And I know of people, and this breaks my heart so much, just speaking of politics. I remember the first time that Trump was elected, and this woman that I knew, she found out that one of her friends had voted for Trump. And to her, that was like the worst thing in the world that anyone could have ever done ever. And so she stopped being friends with that person. And I'm like, well, hold on now. Wait a second here. You mean to tell me that you guys were good friends and your kids played with each other and you went on trips together and like, you know, you talked on the phone and whatever. You were close. And you find out this one thing and now you've decided you don't like this person. And she just looks at me in the eye and says, yes. And so it's like, okay, look, I get it. Our belief systems, you know, they seem to be important to us, right? They kind of define our ego identities. We think they're really relevant. You know, on one hand, belief systems can be great because it can bind people together and sort of like create like a tribe safety feeling. But at the end of the day, it's our beliefs that divide us. I mean, they bind us, but they divide us, okay? And so, you know, back to my example about these people, you know, these ardent politics following people, let's put them in a scenario where there's a natural disaster, okay? Because I think that natural disasters kind of call forward this frequency of love for whatever reason. It's like it kind of reminds us of what's important. So do you remember that tsunami that happened in 2004 in Thailand? I mean, it was a big deal. For me, it was a really big deal because I had just recently been there and it's like, wow, I just kind of dodged a bullet. And so I was paying so much attention to all the news coverage that was happening during the event and after the event. If you don't know about it, there was an enormous tsunami that hit Thailand and it was this big mass casualty event. And it was trauma, you know, with a capital T. And the stories that I remember were people just talking about like in the aftermath of it, the immediate aftermath and like trying to get to higher ground. So people, you know, the water levels were so high because these like huge waves had come into the land and people were like, they were stuck on roofs and stuck in trees and stuff like that. And they basically had to wait for the water level to go back down before they could start trying to swim their way back or just make their way back to higher ground. And the stories that I remember hearing were, you know, on their way back, like when there was enough safety that they could make their way back, they'd come across somebody who needed rescuing. And that's what people did. that's what one does when one is in that situation. It's just a very basic display of humanity. You know, if somebody needs rescuing, you're going to do that. Despite the conditions that some of these people were in, I mean, they had maimed limbs, you know, broken legs, it was really awful. And so here's my question to you. Let's consider our two political adversaries and let's put them in this tsunami tragedy, trauma, natural disaster. Do you think if one of them stumbled across the other, they would have sat around and said, well, hold on, what, before I rescue you, what is your belief system? No, of course not. Of course not. That's not even going to come to the person's mind. No screening process is going to take place before the rescuer helps the rescuee, right? Because the rescuer is in a frequency of love. That's why we're saving this person, because this person is a human. Belief systems don't matter. Gender doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. Nothing matters. We're just getting this person to safety because he is a human, you know, he or she is a human being. And so, okay, it's like, look, I know this is kind of a dramatic story, but my point is, I don't think we have to wait for a natural disaster to strike in order to step into the frequency of love. We can be that frequency of love for people anytime. All of the time, whether we agree on things or not, okay? You don't have to be best friends with that person. You don't have to be speaking any of their five love languages, but you can be the frequency of love and just basic human decency and acceptance despite your differences. Because at the end of the day, we're all really different. I mean, it's hard to find someone who's completely aligned on every single thing 100% of the time. It's just, I think it's impossible. And I think it's a moot point anyway. It doesn't matter anyway, because we're not our ego identities. We're not. We're not our belief systems. We like to say that, but we're not. I mean, at the end of the day, we're these beautiful little bundles of love, balls of light that can be the frequency of love if we so choose it. If we choose it. And so my point is, you know, don't wait. Don't wait. There's no need to wait for that. Natural disaster doesn't need to strike in order for us to be that frequency. We can be that frequency now. And so that's my message for today. I want you to consider, you don't need to wait for that event to happen for you to be willing to overlook your differences and be the frequency of love for someone, particularly when somebody needs it. Okay, so I hope this serves you well. And if you know anyone who would benefit from hearing these messages, please share this with them. The more we share these messages, the wider net we cast, the more people will start getting turned on to this idea of, like, love's available to us all the time. We just have to choose it. We just have to choose it. And the more that we step into this frequency, the higher the vibration of our entire planet. So help me spread this message. And until I see you next time, so much love to all of you. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.